Welcome to the Apartment Rockstar podcast. On this episode, Robert is a guest on the Think Realty webinar to discuss tax-saving strategies with apartment investing.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Think Realty webinar. Today we are very excited to bring in Rockstar Capital. They're going to be talking about tax-saving strategies for your with apartment investing. As a reminder, type out your questions in the question box throughout the presentation, and in the end, they'll address as many questions as they can get to. This webinar is actually one of the highest attended webinars we've had, so there'll be, I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions, so get your questions in early to be able to get those addressed in the time that we have allotted. Our moderator today is Sam Morris. He is the CIO of Rockstar Capital, and we would like to welcome him in. Welcome, Sam.
Hey, thanks, Rodney. Really appreciate it. Yeah, so as Rodney mentioned, my name is Sam Morris. I am the Chief Investment Officer at Rockstar Capital. I am also the asset manager for our almost 4,000 units that we have in apartments, mainly the Houston area with a couple of our properties, but also in South Texas. My day-to-day responsibilities are doing everything from the acquisition side to the numbers side and going through and making sure the assets are operating at top-notch capacity and just making sure that we're looking over all the investments for our investors. And I am the liaison for our investors within Rockstar Capital. I'm also joined today with Roger Hobbs, who is our cost segregation specialist from O'Connor & Associates, Paul Grossbart, who is our CPA, and Robert Martinez, our CEO. But I want to let each of them introduce themselves to you. Roger, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody and let them know a little bit about what you do.
Sure. Hi, everyone. The name is Roger Hibbs, H-I-B-B-S. And I'm the National Director of Federal Tax Reduction for O'Connor. I've been with O'Connor for about 15 years, and I've been working with Robert and his awesome Rockstar team for most of that time period. Prior to that, I was in multifamily property management and construction for more than 15 years. So I have a total of over 30 years in commercial real estate. Here at O'Connor, we're cost segregation experts, having done over 10,000 studies. We work with multifamily asset owners and their tax professionals to minimize their federal tax burdens.
Thank you, Roger. And Mr. Paul.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Paul Grossbart with Miller Grossbart Advisors. We are a business advisory and CPA firm. Our services range from an emphasis in tax planning and structuring to business advisory, financial reporting, and a host of other services. We have had the pleasure to start of Rockstar, and we're excited to be here today.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Really appreciate it. And obviously, Mr. Martinez himself.
Yes. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining me. This is Robert Martinez. I'm CEO and founder of Rockstar Capital Management. Rockstar Capital was founded in 2011, and we just bought one deal a year for a little while. And now we have 21 assets. 3,762 units across Texas. We're one of the largest, we're one of the most award-winning property management companies with 17 city, state, and national apartment association awards since 2011. And I'm the country's only two-time national independent owner of the year. And I save a boatload of taxes because of the gentlemen that are on this call. So the purpose of this presentation is to give you guys an opportunity to benefit from investing in apartments the way we have. I think you're really in for a great treat. These are the guys that have helped Rockstar Capital become the name that it is today.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Robert. And so one of the things that we're trying to do today with this webinar is we really want to educate everybody on some of the aspects that are used by operators to accelerate depreciation associated with the purchases of their real estate. And we also want to be able to touch on some of the benefits that actually could apply to some of the investors that are in on these deals. And with that, I just kind of want to start it out with a general question, which is why apartments? And I really want to ask it to everybody. So why apartments versus, you know, stocks or oil and gas or other investments that are out there, and just hear what everybody has to say on this panel of, you know, why they feel apartments is one of those advantageous areas.
Yeah. Sure, absolutely. For me, there's just a comfort level in real estate versus other investments like the stock market. When you invest in real estate, you're buying a piece of a tangible asset. And I feel like you have a little bit more control with real estate. It's a more familiar asset to all of us than stocks and other things. Another plus is potential cash flow. Real estate really isn't a liquid investment, but in many cases, real estate can provide a reliable passive income stream versus the more typical stock investment that must be sold if you're going to generate any cash. And traditionally, real estate's been a wonderful hedge against inflation and tends to be just more stable in terms of market and economic fluctuations.
Excellent. Excellent. Hey, Paul, I'd love to know what you have to say on this too.
Well, I agree with really just about everything that Roger said. You know, additionally, in any portfolio, you want to have a mix of assets. And as we have certainly seen in the last 30 days, what was once a roaring stock market and kind of came to a screeching halt and a significant drop. Hedge against more volatile securities. For me, owning real estate in my portfolio allows me to reduce my risk exposure, because in almost every case, your asset will never go to zero. So it's a hard asset. It's a tangible asset that will always have some value. And as we have seen, especially in the Houston and the Texas markets, we're really benefiting from a lot of growth. And multifamily housing is a great way to take advantage of that growth without having to do a significant follow-up investment like you do in commercial property once you have bought a property.
Excellent. All great points. Really appreciate that, Paul. Robert, obviously, we want to hear your point of view on this too, and kind of give a little bit more of the backstory. And what was it that made you choose apartments versus going all the other directions that you had the capability of choosing?
You know, for me, I think education is everything. And I spent some time when I was transitioning from my old life to this new life of owning apartments on what I thought was best for me and my family. And I educated myself. I think it's very important that you find that you invest in yourself before you invest in something else. And I looked at a wide variety of solopreneur kind of opportunities, like owning a childcare facility or a laundromat or a water vending business. And I found real estate, you know, by accident. And I learned, I joined a real estate club, which I highly, highly recommend for a lot of people, because again, I think education is there. And, you know, what I learned in that club was not just how to run an apartment complex, not just be exposed to other owner operators, but understanding that there's an unknown belief out there, but that it's more millionaires have been created from real estate investing than anything else. In fact, most of my friends today that I associate with are millionaires, and they're millionaires because they have one thing that they all share in common, and that's real estate investing. They specifically in the apartment investing, they've done very, very well. You get quarterly dividends or distributions. You get appreciation of the property once you start to add your business plan and increase the value. And as you're making all this money, you've got to be able to protect it. You've got to be able to keep the profits. It's not about what you make. It's about what you keep. And thankfully, I've known Roger Hibbs and I've known Paul Grossbart for almost the entire time that I've had a real estate career. And without those two individuals, you know, I would definitely have had to pay more in taxes and really not been able to provide the best life I could for my family. I'm almost embarrassed to say, but I actually got a stimulus check. You know, and I got a stimulus check because of the advantages and the laws that are in there for real estate investors. So thank you to Paul for allowing that. Thank you to Roger for allowing us to have the cost segregation study, which I know you're going to discuss a little bit later. But there's so many ways to make money in real estate. If you just find the right way and then find the right professionals to help you keep it, I think it will change your family tree.
Yeah, absolutely. Great points, everybody. You know, you touched on a few things too, Robert, right there, where you were talking about the appreciation of the assets, and about, it's not about necessarily, and there are several things in regards to the laws, in particularly the tax laws that are out there. And this is a question I'm going to actually have for Paul, our resident CPA here, to talk a little bit about bonus depreciation. What are those terms that you hear out there and what that means? Because that was one of the things that you and I had talked about as being one of those advantages to investing in apartments. And so, Paul, if you don't mind, can you kind of give us the overview of what is bonus depreciation?
Certainly, Sam. Thank you. Bonus depreciation, at its essence, allows for the current year deduction of the 5, 7, and 15-year property that is part of the multifamily complex that is being purchased, which I know Roger will go into more when he talks about cost segregation. So instead of depreciating that property over the respective lives, in the year of purchase, you can deduct the cost of those components of the real estate property that was purchased. I know, as I said, Roger will go into more detail on this as to what are the specific assets in those 5, 7, and 15-year class lives that do qualify. But this is a huge opportunity for one really large single year deduction from multifamily.
Wow, really impressive. And so really what I want to do is I want to open this up now to Roger to try to explain some of these things of what you talk about when you said, what is a cost segregation study and how that ties into that definition that you were just talking about. And I'm actually going to turn this over to Roger here. I'm going to give him control. So I know he's got some example stuff to show us, and he can put it up. And Roger, that's my question is, you know, what is a cost segregation study and how does that tie into that bonus depreciation formula that Paul just told us about?
Sure. Can everyone still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. The essence of cost segregation is basically what Paul just said. We typically, everyone knows what depreciation in general is. And when you have a multifamily asset, you depreciate straight line over 20. Segregation, the IRS allows us to come in and parcel out sections of that property, that asset, into 5-year, 7-year, and 15-year depreciable life pieces. And we can accelerate the depreciation on those by using a slightly different methodology. And the 5-year and 7-year can be depreciated at a 200% declining balance, and the 15-year can be depreciated at a 150% declining balance. So not only are we looking at shortening the depreciation life, but we're looking at accelerating it towards the front end with standard cost segregation. To give you some specific examples of 5-year items that we can segregate out, and these are not everything. As a matter of fact, there's a list that the IRS keeps of over 120 individual items, so it's not just these few, but these are some of the major ones. In the 5-year category, all of your interior carpet, your vinyl flooring, window coverings, appliances, some cabinetry, special molding. Really, when you think about 5-year depreciable items, think of not all will qualify, but everyone that does is an interior item. On your 7-year items, that is a bit smaller category, a little bit less opportunity there. But you can see we have some park benches, playground equipment, mailbox, kiosks, bicycle racks, select office furnishings. So that can be indoor or outdoor items for the 7-year. And then in the 15-year category, you've got lots of things outside like parking lots, your driveways, land prep, sidewalks, fencing, retention ponds, pools, exterior lighting. Gosh, the list is quite long. And I want to focus just for a second on the land prep. Most all of these assets that multifamily investors buy are pre-existing assets. We're not buying brand new properties. And even if the property is 30 years old, built a long time ago, we can go back and actually parcel out some of your purchase price for the actual land prep that was done originally back 30 years ago, just to prepare for the foundation. So it's quite intense. We go through and pull all those things out so that you get the most bang for your buck. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 is what brought into play this wonderful concept of 100% bonus depreciation that Paul was talking about. What it allows us to do, as Paul said, was we're able to find the 5, 7, and 15-year items, pull them all into their respective buckets, and then depreciate 100% of that in the year that you actually purchase the asset. I'm going to give you an example of what that looks like for a multifamily asset. Let me pull up a slightly larger screen so that it will be a little easier to see. Let's look at an asset that costs $12 million as your purchase price. First and foremost, we have to pull out a land value because land isn't depreciable. So if we assume about a 16% land allocation, that's a $2 million land value, and taking that away from your purchase price, basis of $10 million. With standard depreciation, the straight line 27 and a half year depreciation, you would garner about $197,000 of depreciation in year one. And if we added it up through the first 5 years of your ownership, it would be about $1.6 million. With standard cost segregation, where we segregate the assets out and then take them in their respective depreciation lives, you would get $497,000 plus in year one. And that would in $3 million, slightly over $3 million through year five. But the kicker here is with the 100% bonus depreciation, with that, you're able to get $3.1 million in the very first year. And don't skip over the impact that can have. $3.1 million, that's 31 plus percent of your depreciable basis that you can depreciate in the first year. And Paul can answer questions better than I can on the specifics of this, but remember, if you get so much depreciation that you don't need it all in the first year, you can carry forward that depreciation in most instances to defray future income.
Wow, that's amazing. Hey, you know, Roger, I mean, I don't want to just, you know, quickly glance over this. So you're able with your bonus depreciation, to take something that's, you know, most investors would, or most owner operators, if they just did from a standard perspective and just try to depreciate it over the standard depreciation, they would only get $197,000 in year one in this example. And through the bonus depreciation and with the cost segregation that you guys are doing, you can convert that into almost $3 million more.
Yeah, I the seminar cut out for a minute there, but I think what you were just highlighting is the vast difference between not only cost segregation and standard depreciation, but with this 100% bonus depreciation, it's just a phenomenal opportunity.
Yeah, that's incredible. That is incredible. Sorry for my phone cutting out there, I guess. And I do want to make mention too to all the audience that's out there that we are going to be taking questions. So go ahead and make sure you get your questions in, so that we can get to those as they come in. And so, Robert, what do you want to jump in real quick on this right now and talk about?
Well, again, all of this is about education. Listen, I went to school and I have an engineering degree and now I'm doing real estate, but I can promise you I don't have the background that Paul Grossbart has in finance and accounting. I don't have Roger's background, and I don't necessarily have to. I just have to be educated enough to know that in real estate investing, there are opportunities to save money. And then you got to figure out, okay, what are those opportunities? I don't have to do the cost segregation study as a passive investor, or even an active investor. That's what the professionals who have set up companies and have a staff and teams of people do. I mean, this is monster. I mean, I didn't learn a single bit of this in college, not one thing. I understand what the quadratic formula is. I understand how to solve for Y and solve for X, but I didn't learn this. This would, in my life, will make me millions of dollars in my life because of understanding this right here. And it wasn't taught to me in school. And I think that that's the key about investing in real estate, is that that's why more millionaires have been made from real estate, is because they have these laws, they have these tax advantages in there. And you just got to make sure that you know that you're aware of it and then find the right professionals.
Absolutely. And so let's say I'm a lead investor, right? I'm going out and I'm looking for an apartment or another building to buy or something of that nature, Roger. And I come to you and I say, hey, you know what? I want you guys to do my cost segregation study. How much would something like that actually cost? And what's the kind of time frame, you know, that you guys would need to be able to do something like this if we want to be able to acquire that kind of an asset?
That's an excellent question. We always love it when we get involved prior to the purchase because we can help with a little bit of guidance as to what is going to be the best bang for your buck on those sorts of things. But with regard to your specific question, the cost of these studies has changed drastically over the years, and we've been a part and parcel of that change. Historically, at one point in time anyway, only engineering firms with the big four or the big 10 at that point, accounting firms were really doing much cost segregation work, and those studies could cost upwards of $20,000 and $30,000 for a single multifamily asset. What we do and how we've been able to impact the market is we've been able to, through just better business practices, we've been able to push that price point down to where a multifamily apartment property starts around $5,000 for one of these studies. And I don't think I've ever seen one cost more than around $6,500, and that was for a massive 1,200 unit property that was about a $90 million asset. So $5,000 is our fee, and in addition, that's a tax deductible fee. So the reality is, after taking into account the reduction you would get in the fee from taxes, you're probably looking at about $3,100, $3,200 out of pocket post-tax. And yet, with this 100% bonus depreciation, as the example on the screen, you're getting $3.1 million of additional depreciation in year one. So I'm thinking it's a pretty good bang for your buck to spend $5,000 with me. The time frame on these things, we like to have 6 to 8 weeks from the time that we sign a letter of intent to do this with you to the time that we actually deliver the study, because we need to do a lot of background research. Obviously, we need to get out and kick the bricks and sticks, get on site and do inspections, take pictures, take measurements, etc., and then come back and prepare the report, run it through peer review to make sure that we're absolutely setting you up with an airtight study. Because one of the things that we choose to do with our firm anyway is we offer a warranty of the study at no additional charge. It's included in your $5,000 study fee. And that warranty says that if you ever, while you own this asset, if you ever get asked questions by the IRS for whatever reason, and they have any questions about this cost segregation study, we will talk directly with the IRS. We will defend that study at no additional fee to you, our client. We're that confident in our ability to do the right thing. As I said, we've done over 10,000 studies, and we've had to date 13 instances where the IRS has had questions. So 13 out of more than 10,000. And in those instances, we've never had to change a single line item of any of our findings after interfacing with the IRS and answering their questions. So 6 to 8 weeks is a typical turnaround time. There can be times when it can be less. There can be times when it can be a little bit longer if demand is huge. And starting out around $5,000 for the actual cost.
Hey, Sam, I'd like to jump in there. You know, as I've done now 21 plus renovations, right? Obviously, I plan the renovation with the ROI in mind. I'm going to change out the air conditions because I want to get efficiency for us as the investor, because we're going to try to flat rate that bill back, and we're going to try to save on the savings. I'm going to put in a variety of other renovation items like new roofs or siding or windows to see the ROI, but also more importantly to get the resident to renew. This is just another benefit though of the ROI on a renovation. I mean, this is crazy. You have a $12 million asset price, but you're talking about being able to see, you know, $3 million plus of depreciation in 1 year. Paul, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if you had a $100,000 investor in there, am I understanding this right? What would his, rule of thumb, you don't have to give me an exact number, how much could he see back in depreciable losses in that first year as a result of the bonus depreciation?
Yeah, obviously it depends what percentage of the deal that they have, but depending on operations, you could be getting a pass-through deduction of $50,000 to $70,000.
On a $100,000 investment.
$100,000 investment.
That is nuts, Paul. I don't think people understand that and get that. That you literally can buy this asset, right? You put your $100,000, which is going to make you quarterly dividends. It's all going to give you, also going to give you a pro rata share of the investment. You're going to share in the growth. If you've been a rockstar investor, you know what that means. You know that we're going to refinance every 3 to 4 years and pull the lion's share of the equity out so that in a 3 to 4 year window, you've got darn near 100%. But I don't even factor in the depreciation you get. Paul just said you can get anywhere from $50,000 to $70,000 of that investment back in the first year. And as they just said, you know, you can apply that back towards your family's income and really see some beneficial tax savings. I mean, I think this is nuts. Again, another example of why more millionaires have been created through apartment investing, real estate investing overall.
You know, Robert, there's another factor that cost segregation allows us as CPAs to do, is that the cost segregation studies, Roger said, breaks out all these different costs. And even on the 27-year property, that study breaks out the HVAC units, breaks out the roof, breaks out other pieces of that 27 and a half year. So when you go in and you do a rehab, because for operational purposes, it makes sense to upgrade the HVAC or upgrade a roof, we're also going to use that cost segregation study to take the undepreciated portion of that cost and write that off in the year that it is replaced. So even though it's 27 and a half years and depreciated over 27 and a half years, to the extent that property is being disposed of and being replaced, we can also take a deduction for that cost.
Incredible. So, Paul, this is going to go, I guess, further because if I'm just an investor, right, and whether I'm passive or I have active capabilities to me, how would a passive investor be able to benefit from these losses that we're talking about? How would they be able to, utilize those losses versus maybe say other passive income that they have? Or if they are able to qualify under those specific parameters that you had talked about.
So, when you look at your income tax return, it just shows income. But in fact, your tax return is broken up into buckets of income. You get what's called your ordinary income, which includes salaries and other types of income from services. You have your what's called your portfolio income, which is interest, dividends, and royalties. And then you have your passive income and passive losses. And if I'm an investor, just an investor in real estate, so if I'm in one or two or three of the different Rockstar properties, those losses are considered passive losses. Now I can deduct passive losses to the extent that I have other passive income. And to the extent that I cannot deduct them in any particular year, I can carry forward those indefinitely. Now, let's say after year 4 or 5, one of those properties sells. Well, the loss, the passive losses that I had been carrying forward are then freed up to offset all of the gain from the sale of that one property. So those losses are never lost. They're just suspended and used when there is passive income. Now, if you can qualify as a real estate professional, then there's much more expanded ways that you could use the losses that are being passed through from these investments.
Okay, and so I think Roger's gonna move the presentation mode over to you, and you can probably go over what some of those expanded losses could do, and as far as how you can potentially qualify as a real estate professional.
Okay, I pass it over to you, Paul.
Okay, thank you. In just a second, I get my screen up and show. Okay, so I take it everybody can see real estate professional. What are the rules to meet the standard?
can.
It's a big complex, but I'm going to try and walk through it quickly and give you, you know, a thumbnail approach to how you can qualify as a real estate professional. And what that means is once you're a real estate professional, all of your real estate business activities are no longer passive. Now they can offset any type of income, whether it's salary, interest, dividends, any income that's flowing through. So to be a real estate professional, you have to be in one of the following categories of activities: real estate development, redevelopment, construction and reconstruction, acquisition, conversion, rental, leasing, brokerage. You need to note, this list does not include real estate investment. So just being a real estate investor doesn't get you the real estate professional status. So once you're in any of these eight activities that I've just listed, there are a couple of other rules that you have to follow. First, you must spend at least 750 hours during the year in any of these eight activities, and more than half of your working time has to be in the real estate business. To meet all these hour requirements easier, you can make an election in your tax return to consolidate all your activities into one so that you can meet the hour test. If you don't make that election, there is no way, if I have five different real estate activities, let's say five different rent houses, that I can ever meet that 750-hour test. There's just not enough hours in the day. So as is always the case, you need to check with your real estate advisor to review the level of your participation in real estate activities to see if you are eligible. So once you are eligible, it's a great way to start recognizing some huge tax advantages. So let's walk through a very quick example. My wife is a litigation attorney with a big Houston law firm and makes big salary. I work as a residential realtor, and I spend over 750 hours a year, which is more than half of my business time, representing buyers and sellers. With the money we've saved, we've been able to invest in five of Rockstar multifamily real estate LLCs as investors. Since I'm in a qualifying business activity, I meet the hours tests. Both my wife and I are considered as a real estate professional, and we could offset the losses that come off of our five Rockstar multifamily real estate deals against my brokerage income and against my wife's salary. It's a huge tax opportunity, but you have to be able to qualify as a real estate professional.
Excellent. Excellent. So there's multiple ways actually looking at this. If you are able to fit this parameter that what you're talking about, you could actually benefit even greater. But even the passives still have the capability, if you're not fitting into this parameter, to still offset other income, other passive income they have. Robert, do you have an example maybe you can share with us?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, right? Because, you know, everybody's so focused on this $1,200 stimulus check that the government's been passing out, right, as like a handout, and you're kind of relying on the government. I've got a business contact who's become a friend now, and he's watched our growth over the years, and I've known him since about 2013 and 14, and he's mentioned from time to time, I want to get invested with real estate. I'm tired of the stock market, the swings, and I'm tired of those kind of losses, and you know, what that does to you mentally. So he cashed out of the stock market, and he took $450,000 last year, and he put it into a variety of Rockstar communities. I think we did three deals with him last year. And he sent me a text the other day, maybe about 3-4 weeks ago. He says, hey, I finished my tax returns. I think he was waiting for the K-1s from Paul's group. He goes, I finished my tax returns, and I'm getting $12,000 back. He goes, I've never gotten money back I've never gotten money back from the tax on my tax return ever. I've always had to pay money, but because of the K-1 losses that he was able to incur, or not incur, but the K-1 losses that are provided through his real estate investing, his tax professor was able to apply them towards his yearly income. And he got a $12,000 check. He got a check that was equal to 10 times what the government was handing out. I like to joke and call it the Rockstar stimulus check because of his investments in Rockstar. He got a $12,000 check. Now, who couldn't use a $12,000 check right now? You know, I not a measly $1,200 check, something 10 times as big because you took your own future in your own hands. He didn't lose a dollar in the fall in the stock market. He had his money in real estate. His money in the apartments that he's investing with us are appreciating in value. One of them has done really, really well for the short time that we've owned it. And to boot, he didn't have to write a check out of his bank account. He actually got a $12,000 check back. That's how people have their net worth increase. When you make those kind of decisions, but it takes a little courage. It takes a little faith. Like, you know, I know it's new to you and I know you've never heard of it because mom and dad didn't talk to you about it. You didn't grow up on it. You probably didn't know anybody who owned real estate. And if they did, they probably had a single family house and they were not a very good landlord. And so they had a bad experience with it. I'm in that boat. I didn't know anything about real estate until I got educated and I went to my first class. And even when I was doing my first renovation project, I didn't know about the cost segregation study until well after that. There are just so many ways to make money through real estate investing. You just got to get involved and you got to get educated a little bit. And I'm really happy for my friend there because, again, he wasn't in tears, but you could tell through the text message he was overjoyed. He had never seen that kind of situation where he didn't have to write a big, you know, instead, he got back a five-figure refund as a result of his decision to invest in apartments.
Yeah, and see, that's one of the amazing things, that there are actually so many different ways that as real estate investors and real estate operators that we can actually make money. And it's not just as simple as you buy a piece of property, hope it goes up in value, and you sell it at a later date. There's multiple ways that we make money in these deals. And that's the whole purpose for this webinar. Obviously, there's been a lot of things that have been going on, and we're in different times right now. And so COVID-19 has affected a lot of businesses and things, but we want to speak specifically to this. And I want to talk to Roger real quick and just say, Roger, has COVID-19 affected your process of how you do these things? And if so, how are you guys dealing with that?
Well, COVID-19 has affected everything, as you know. Technically, it has not affected us at all. Nothing about COVID-19 has changed what we do for cost segregation studies, how we do cost segregation studies, or anything else, but it has affected when we do cost segregation studies. Obviously, with everyone shutting down their businesses and not wanting to come into contact with lots of folks, what we found is that the travel restrictions and other health concerns about social distancing has caused us to put quite a few of our out-of-state studies on hold. We do studies around the world, actually, but certainly a lot within the continental United States. And so those have pretty much had to go on hold until these travel restrictions are eased and we can get back into airplanes. What we've been focused on now is just taking care of all of the studies that we have that are quote-unquote drivable from one of our areas so that we can get those knocked out. For our listening audience here, the biggest impact COVID-19 is going to have in terms of the immediate future is that we're going to come out of this whenever we do, whether it's a month from now or 3 months from now or beyond that, with a tremendous backlog of work to do. So it's in segregation studies. Especially for 2020, it's important to go ahead and get that on the book somewhere so that you get your place reserved in the queue. And once this thing is restarted and our economy is kickstarted, as President Trump wants to do, we can make sure we get to you and get your study done so that you can start realizing all these wonderful opportunities for saving tax dollars.
Absolutely. You know, Robert and I, when we acquire a property, as part of our normal due diligence, it's one of the things that we look at is how fast can we go ahead and make sure we're engaging our cost segregation study because of all the benefits that we have. And in particular, it gets a little tricky when you end up purchasing a property towards the end of the year.
Yeah, that's really important. You might think if you're buying something in the first quarter, early second quarter, that you've got lots and lots of time because you won't need it until your taxes are prepared. But we like to try to work with our clientele and remind them that they can do a lot of tax planning in the fourth quarter of the year if they already have the results of their cost segregation study in hand prior to that time. And we're also trying to remind them that everybody thinks of their cost segregation needs towards the end of the fourth quarter or the very beginning of the first quarter. And that's when the mass hits the fan, so to speak. And so the more time that you can give us in terms of getting it to us earlier in the year, the easier it's going to be for us to get it back to you timely. And you'll have it both for your filings, which is important to you and your tax professional, but also for year-end tax planning.
You know, I think that's really interesting because I've definitely had a couple of frantic calls with Roger from time to time over the years. You know, Roger, what happens, and this is also a question for Paul because Paul's the second half of this. What happens if Sam and I purchase a property and it's like October, November, you know, and we're still trying to get that engagement of the segregation study, even though we haven't done our renovation yet. We're still kind of putting together our plan. How are you able to get that done? And does it go into the next year? And then the second part for Paul, what when do you need that cost seg study? And can you record those results in the second year of ownership, or does it have to be year one? What happens in that case?
Well, Roger, I'll take the second part of Robert's question. Typically, we always like to include the results of the cost segregation in the first year that the property is purchased. So the year the property is purchased, we want to include those results in that year. You can do it in a subsequent year, but when you do, you have to file with the IRS what's called the Form 3115, change in accounting method. And you are in effect putting the IRS on notice that IRS, I'm doing cost segregation study and I'm taking all these great tax benefits. So from our perspective, I don't want the IRS to look at your tax returns. I want to get it in with the least scrutiny as possible. I want to give them one shot to look at the tax return, not a second shot. So we always try and get the cost segregation study recorded and the benefits flow through to the investors in the year that the property is purchased. Now, if you do renovations in a later year, and Roger comes in and does a cost seg on those renovations, that doesn't affect it because that is just a cost segregation on new property that was placed into service in that subsequent year. So it doesn't trigger any additional filings and notifications to the IRS.
Paul, I agree with that 100%. It's always better for all the reasons you stated to get the cost segregation done before you file on the property for the very first time. The IRS does allow, as Paul said, they do allow what's called look back studies that will allow you to go back and catch up that depreciation that you missed out on. But you do have to file that 3115. And as Paul said, that gives them a second look at you. Plus, it just costs money to file a 3115. There's no charge from the IRS, but I don't think Paul's going to do it for free out of the goodness of his heart. So it's a situation where it's just much cleaner to come in and do it in the year that you bought it or before you file those taxes on the year that you bought it.
You know, I want to jump in and add one more thing. You know, it's interesting, right? Because there's a great expression that, you know, when you're making money in your sleep is when you know you're doing well. But, you know, as you mentioned, Sam, I mean, this C-19 is pretty impressive, right? It is what it's done to the rest of the world. If you're making money through C-19, you got a pretty good business too, you know? And I look to see who's making money during C-19. You know, and fortunately, real estate, specifically apartments, are, because you have to, it's one of the basic necessities of life. You got to have food. You got to have air to breathe. Some people would say you got to have guns and ammo, but it means nothing if you don't have four walls around you to protect you. And I think that's one of the benefits, again, of investing in apartments is that, you know, you have a product that is in demand. I thought oil was almost recession proof, and apparently it is not. You know, you saw minus 35 oil the other day, you know, and it is clearly not recession proof. Restaurants are not recession proof. And Sam and I were having a conversation earlier, like, what is it going to take for retailers and restaurants to bounce back? We'll come back in 6 months. We'll come back in a year. When is the fear going to go away? But with apartments, you got to have a place to sleep. You got to have a place to store your food and your ammo and your water and what have you, right? You got to have it. It's a necessity of life. And until they find a better way to, you know, exist in a different existence, you know, you're going to need those apartments. And it's not, you know, you're not going to have you're going to have your ups and downs for sure, but people need your product. And I've learned that from apartment investing, is that it's necessary, if not one of the ultimate commodities that you got to have. You got to have food, you got to have water, and you got to have a place to sleep.
Absolutely. And, you know, with all the things that are going on in the world right now, this is one of those things that is controllable, you know, and we talk about this all the time too, Robert, of we're going to control those things that you can control. And this is one of those things that we do right from the very beginning. And so whether you're an owner operator yourself or trying to get into this business, this is one of those things that you can control and you can actually utilize to make your business better. And if you're an investor, you know, find somebody who's doing these types of things, who's taking care of and taking advantage of all those opportunities that are available to you up front. And, you know, the things that we can't control, but these are some of the things that we can. And obviously this is a unique topic because it's so different than what we're always taught, like what you said earlier. And so, you know, what other things are you guys seeing out there that is controllable like this, that we could take advantage of, it particularly in the tax realm?
This is Paul. You know, there's not that many opportunities out there that have the same, what I consider relatively low level of risk, again, because you're investing in hard assets and where you're gonna get a tax benefit from. When I sell my property, the majority of my gain on that sale is going to be capital gains, which is at a 20, or if you're subject to the investment income tax, a 23, almost 24% rate, which is still significantly lower than the ordinary income rate. So I like real estate as part of my investment portfolio.
You know, Sam, if you look at the list, right, of the richest billionaires in the world, you're going to see the tech giants, unless you're some sort of genius, boy genius that created the next tech startup, you know, you're not going to be on that list. Unless you're some, you know, old school media company, you know, that controls the media, you ain't going to be on that list. But you know how many real estate investors are on that big list? I mean, the President of the United States, what does he do? He's a real estate investor. You know, he's considered on that list. He's big, unless you're some big oil tycoon. Even then, I don't know if I want to be the sheik of some foreign country right now when oil minus 35, right? But real estate's been there. It has been there. It's been tried and true. And it's because you have to have it. You got to have those four walls. I think it's interesting because, you know, Sam and I were talking about the big winners of this new economy, the big winners of the C-19 environment. You got Amazon and you got Netflix, which, you know, one of my mentors I like to follow, Gary Vaynerchuk, says that the new world will eat the old world. Netflix did it to Blockbuster. Amazon did it to Sears and Montgomery Ward and everybody else. They're doing it again. They're surviving, right? They're surviving because I think I saw Netflix had 16 point something million new adopters. Those are late adopters. If you don't already have Netflix, you are a late adopter. Where did 16 million new subscribers come? Amazon, you just got used to ordering something from the comfort of your phone or your computer that you never even thought was there before. But what else is a big winner in this? Apartments. Because guess what? You got to sleep somewhere. And you're going to find a way to pay that bill. And in this case, the government recognized it. The government came up with special benefits for real estate investors. We were considered a essential provider because we control apartments. You control hundreds, thousands of families depend on us. We were allowed to keep working. We were also able to qualify for some of the small business loans out there. But more importantly, when those unemployment benefits came out there, when those stimulus checks came out there, they went to our residents. And even though they may be on some hard times right now, if they were in the service industry or in the retail industry, the government is still there taking care of them because they know they can't have 30 million people on the street. They got to have them in their apartment homes, in their homes in general. And so if anybody asks me who's one of the big winners, I think real estate has been a big winner for a long time. It's just gone and shown you how important it is. We're not one of the ones that's going to crash. Our values aren't going to go down overnight tomorrow like what happened in the stock market. you're going to see some stability and some holding power. And maybe we don't grow by 16 million new subscriptions, but I can tell you what, right now in the apartment world, renewals are in an all-time high right now. We are seeing renewals that we've never seen before because people are afraid and they don't want to move. And it's almost the old adage, the devil I know is better than the devil I don't know. They don't want to move somewhere else. But at the same time, we're also seeing new leases too because of the decisions we made 36 months ago to invest in online leasing capability. You know, we're able to continue to lease. We've leased, what, Sam, was it 168 gross leases since March 23rd when this really went into effect, when the shelter in order went into effect. We've netted out 150, and 70% of those came from online leasing capability. So people are still out there wanting to move. I was telling Sam, I don't think we're going to see that much of a balance sheet switch at the end of the year. I think our NOIs are going to hold because the name of the game is renewals, and people are renewing right now in record numbers for us, and we're gaining market share. We're gaining occupancy because of the capabilities that we have to increase leases and still move forward. Every single month this year, including April, occupancy has increased. And based on the leasing activity and the slowdown of move-out activity, we're going to see increases in May. Seen that as well. So you ever thought about investing in real estate? You ever thought about investing in apartments? That's just another reason. You save money, you make money, and you can withstand C-19 global events. My gosh, I feel really strong right now that I made the right decision 13 years ago to walk away from my day job and pursue this.
Wow, man, it's an incredible story. And, you know, I'd like to, everybody can see on the screen, rockstarcapital.com. I'd like to invite everybody to be able to go and check out the company, check out what everybody's about. I do know Carl will be sending out more contact information from everybody that was on the webcast today. And we really appreciate everybody. Roger, really appreciate all the intel that you've given us and all the insight. And Paul, as always, solid advice that you give consistently. We really appreciate it. We're going to make sure everybody gets your contact information. So without further ado, I really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. And
thank you for listening to the Apartment Rockstar Podcast. If you're interested in investing with Rockstar Capital, feel free to sign up at rockstarcapital.com or email investing@rockstar-capital.com. This has been a production of Rockstar Capital.